Do you know that there is only one God in three eternal persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? Do you know that Jesus said He is the only way to heaven, and His death and resurrection bring forgiveness of sins to all who believe? Welcome to the Pastor Study, a ministry of pastorstudy.org. Join us now as we study God's Word, the Bible, together.
Welcome to the Pastor Study. Some people think I'm a Catholic priest because I wear this, but I'm not a Catholic priest. I'm a Lutheran pastor. We wear these things too. But have you ever heard the story of Martin Luther? Here we go. Martin Luther was born in Germany in 1483. His father wanted him to become a lawyer. But young Luther got caught in a thunderstorm and almost got hit by lightning, and Luther cried out, "Saint Anne, save me, and I'll become a monk." Luther was saved from the thunderstorm, and much to his father's chagrin, Luther entered the monastery and became a Catholic monk. Luther desperately wanted to know that he was saved, that his sins were forgiven, and that he was going to heaven. But Luther knew that he was a sinner, condemned, and he was scared of God. There was a man, Staupitz was the father confessor of the monastery, and Luther was always confessing his sins to Staupitz. And Staupitz finally said, "Luther, read Paul's letter to the Romans." And one day, Luther is reading the book of Romans, and he discovers something that had kind of gotten lost, that we're not saved by being good enough or trying real hard or earning it, because you never can. We're sinners. It's only by the grace of God, by what Christ did on the cross, that we will be saved. And Luther said, "This passage of Paul became to me a door to paradise. I felt myself to be born again." So Luther is now joyous. He knows Christ. His sins are forgiven. He's going to heaven. But Luther's a Catholic monk, has no intention of leaving the church, and he never did. He got kicked out of the Catholic church. But so he's still a monk. Well, the Pope needs to build the large, beautiful St. Peter's Cathedral in Rome, which we still see every year on Christmas Eve, because that's where the Pope preaches. It's a gorgeous building, but it was hugely expensive. So the Pope offered what's called an indulgence, that if you give money to the church to help build St. Peter's, then the Pope will hit and the church will help get your loved ones out of purgatory quicker. There was a priest by the name of Tetzel who was going through Germany jingling his money box saying, "Every copper that in my coffer rings, another soul from purgatory springs." In other words, give us money to build St. Peter's Cathedral, and we'll get your grandma out of purgatory quicker. Luther was incensed. He went to the door of Wittenberg Cathedral in Germany, and he nailed on the door his 95 theses, his 95 points of contention with false religion in medieval Europe. Well, it starts to spread this gospel that Luther is preaching, and the Pope hears about it and is not happy. The Pope eventually excommunicates Luther. Luther didn't leave the Catholic Church. He was thrown out of the Catholic Church. But now Luther has a following of people who are joyous that they're saved by grace. The emperor of the Holy Roman Empire, Charles V, had to try to fix this. So he calls for a big, what they call, diet or consultation in the city of Worms, Germany. Luther comes from Wittenberg in an ox cart with all of his followers. Up from Rome comes the Pope's representative with the big regal papal delegation. And they meet in the cathedral at Worms. And the papal representative puts Luther's books on a table in front of everybody. It's filled with people. And he says, "Luther, do you recant? Do you take back what you've written here?" And Luther said, "No, but let's have the debate." "There will be no debate. Do you recant?" And now Luther realizes he's been set up, because he'd been promised that he would be able to debate his views. Well, they gave him Luther, I think they gave him 1 or 2 days, and Luther comes back, and in front of the whole assembly, he says, "I do not recant. It is neither safe nor right to violate conscience. My conscience is held captive to the word of God. I can do no other. God help me." In other words, I don't take back what I've written. And Luther thought, they're going to kill me. And they put the emperor then put the, and the pope, put the ban of the empire onto Luther. Anybody that found him could kill him. Luther's own friends kidnapped him at the Diet of Worms, took him up to Wartburg Castle. They hid Luther out for a year up in Wartburg Castle. During that year, Luther didn't waste time. He translated the Bible into German, and now his words are spreading everywhere. After a year, Luther gets some protection from some German princes, so he's able to go back to Wittenberg University and teach the rest of his life, and his beliefs spread all over the place, and that is called the Protestant Reformation of the Church. What I want to do for this sermon is to share with you the three main things Luther rediscovered about the Bible and about the truth of the gospel, the good news. Let's pray. Father, we pray if there's anyone here that does not yet know that they are saved, that they will, like Luther, come to trust Christ alone, that they'll believe in the Bible as their authority. And Lord, would you speak to us now? We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Three main things, the A, B, and C's of Martin Luther. A stands for the authority of the Bible. Not the Pope, not your pastor, not your opinions, not the media. The Bible gets the final say in the life of the Christian. And you know, that makes sense, doesn't it? Shouldn't the words of Jesus and his appointed apostles get final say over everything? Sadly, and I'm a Lutheran, sadly, Lutheran denominations in America and in Europe, which were built on the authority of the Bible, have abandoned the authority of the Bible. There's a Lutheran bishop here in Minneapolis. I attended seminary with her many years ago. She wrote an article saying that when Jesus and the Bible contradict each other, Jesus trumps the Bible. Now, wait a minute. If you believe in the Trinity, if you believe that Jesus and the Holy Spirit and the Father are one God, then the Holy Spirit who inspired the Bible is not going to contradict Jesus Christ. If you attend a denomination that no longer, they used to, all of them used to, but if you go to a church that no longer believes in the authority of the Bible, find another church. I'll list them. The Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, the Presbyterian Church USA, the United Church of Christ, the Episcopal Church, the United Methodists, the Reformed Church in America, the Disciples of Christ. All of these churches now ordain practicing homosexuals. They affirm homosexual behavior. Many of these denominations affirm abortion. These denominations have a number of pastors who don't believe in hell anymore. Everybody goes to heaven. And Martin Luther would say, would you get back to the authority of the Bible? And can I say something as a pastor? I've been a pastor 44 years. Don't trust pastors too much. Sometimes you hear somebody say, well, the pastor says it's okay, and he's been to seminary, so it must be okay. No, no, no. Read the Bible for yourself. Last week, I went to a thrift store, and I meet this old, nice Presbyterian lady. And we talked for a little while, and she finds out I'm a pastor, and she says, oh, I'm a Presbyterian. I go to, and she named the Presbyterian church. I know about this church. It's in a certain suburb of Minneapolis. I think they have flown the gay pride flag, maybe. And I tried to gently say, you know, we need to go to a church that believes what the Bible says on these things. And she says, well, I've become more liberal on homosexuality as I've gotten older because love is love. And I said to her, I have same-sex attraction. That's been my struggle in life. But I say no to going that route because the Bible says it's wrong. And, you know, I don't know if I made a dent in her belief, but you know what troubled me? You know why I think that sweet Presbyterian lady is liberal now on homosexuality? I would almost bet my bank account her pastor. He's the one that's promoting this. And instead of reading the Bible for herself, well, the pastor says it's okay. A stands for the authority of the Bible. Not the Pope, not your pastor, not your opinions, not your feelings, not the media. The Bible gets final say. B, the authority of the Bible, but B stands for by grace alone. Ephesians chapter 2, Paul the Apostle writes, for by grace you have been saved through faith. This is a gift of God. It is not your own doing or of your own good works, lest anyone should boast. And again, Luther, reading the book of Romans all by himself, discovers grace, and he said, I felt myself to be born again. That's when the light bulb went on for Luther that we're saved by grace. Can I tell you my light bulb story? I was raised Lutheran. I should have gotten this growing up. Somehow I missed it. But I'm leading a Bible study at age 19 in college. And after Bible study, this woman named Pam, and if I could find her, I'd thank her for doing this. She says, Tom, can I talk to you privately? I said, sure. Tom, are you sure you're saved? And I said, I think I'm saved. No, are you sure you're saved? And I said, yes. And she left, and I'm sitting there thinking, did I just lie? Because I don't think I was sure. But it was that time period when somebody explained to me grace, that we can be sure we're saved because it doesn't depend on us and our goodness. Our salvation depends totally upon Christ on the cross. We're saved by grace alone, Ephesians chapter 2. That's when the light bulb went on for me. Ever since then, I know my sins are forgiven. I know I'm going to heaven. I've got what's called the assurance of my salvation. And my Christianity went from being kind of a drag to the most wonderful thing in my life. Have you made the discovery by grace alone? You'll never be good enough. You'll never be able to earn it. You'll be a sinner till the day you die. You're saved by the grace of God. The authority of the Bible. B means we are saved by grace alone. C. The C stands for a changed life. Luther would agree with the Catholics that your life needs to change. But he would make the important distinction, our changed life is the result of our salvation, not the cause of our salvation. Your good works will never save you. Only Christ on the cross can save you. But your good works are the result of Christ saving you. And if somebody says, I'm saved by grace alone, and they live like the devil, they've never been saved by grace alone. I went to a Calvinist pastor's conference, and one of the speakers made this point. We are saved by grace alone. Hallelujah. But he added, grace never is alone. It always changes your life. Therefore, I think Martin Luther would scream against some of these Lutheran churches that bear his name who are teaching you can live in impenitent sin and still go to heaven. That's called grace abuse. Here's a man who walks down the street. He slips and he falls in a mud puddle. He gets up, brushes himself off, walks on, slips in another mud puddle. Gets up, brushes himself, walks on, slips in another mud puddle, gets up. That's a Christian. But man number two comes down the street. He slips and he falls into a mud puddle. He pitches his tent in the mud puddle. He lives the rest of his life in the mud puddle. And Luther would say, no matter how much he talks about the grace of God, he doesn't know God. Again, good works don't save us. They never will. But they are the evidence that you have been saved, and there does need to be a changed life. So let's review. A stands for the authority of the Bible. B stands for the fact that we're saved by God's grace, not by your good works. And C stands for the importance of a changed life. So let me wrap this up and just make my final plea. Here's my plea. Would you start reading your Bible every day? 50 years ago, I'm getting to be old. 50 years ago, I made a commitment to God and I said, I'm going to read the Bible every day the rest of my life. And I pretty much have done it. There's an old saying, the Bible that is falling apart usually belongs to someone who isn't. A Christian was dying in the hospital, and his friend came to visit, and the Christian said, could you please read to me from the book? And the friend says, sure, what book would you like me to read from? And the Christian said, there is only one book. My first church when I was a young preacher was down in Florida. There was a woman there named Marcia. When I knew her, she was a good Bible-believing Christian. Well, I saw her a while ago. I maybe hadn't seen her for 30 years, but we started to talk, and she's more liberal now on the homosexual issue. And I said to him, but Marcia, the Bible does address that issue. And she says, I know it does, but there are other books. And I tried to make the point, no, there aren't. Listen, the Bible gets final say. Somebody recently told me how they were saved, how they came to know Christ. And this person, nobody talked to them. Nobody shared anything. He didn't see a TV preacher. He said, I just picked up a Bible. I had never read the Bible. And he said, I started reading the Bible. I came to know Christ. I got saved through reading the Bible. Listen, there are wonderful, powerful things that will happen to you if you read your Bible regularly. So if Martin Luther was here, he would say, don't trust your pastor, don't trust the Pope, don't trust the media, don't trust your feelings, don't trust your opinion. Read the Bible every day and trust the Word of God. Amen.
Welcome to the portion of the Pastor Study where we ask Pastor Brock questions regarding the Bible. Pastor Brock, our first question, why do you believe in faith alone when the Bible doesn't teach faith alone?
Yeah, this was, I think, a Catholic viewer who said that he didn't agree with my view, and I think his view is we're saved by faith and our good works. Mm-hmm. I do think the Bible teaches we're saved by faith alone. Now, it's a real faith. It'll change your life, but it what saves us is not... Galatians says, if righteousness comes through our law-keeping, Christ died for no reason. Mm-hmm. If you can be saved by being good, Jesus didn't need to come to earth and die on the cross for our sins. Mm-hmm. So I do think the Bible teaches we're saved by grace alone through faith alone. And it comes out in good works. I agree with that. Mm-hmm. But he, I think, believes you're saved by your faith plus by your good works. And the book of Galatians was written to show you don't add anything to the cross. Mm-hmm. The Galatians were trying to say, oh, you also have to get circumcised. And Paul says, you're falling away from Christ if you're not trusting grace alone. Now, let me tell you about a controversy, though. When Martin Luther rediscovered grace, he's translating the Bible, and in Romans chapter 3, it says, so we hold that a man is justified by faith mm-hmm. apart from works of the law. Luther added the word alone, which is not in the original text, mm-hmm. and he translated it, we hold that a man is justified by faith alone apart from the works of the law. And the Catholics jumped on that. And my response was, Luther didn't need to add that word, mm-hmm. but that's what that verse means. If you're saved by faith apart from works, that means there's no good work you can do to save yourself. It's only faith in Christ that'll save you. So there we go.
Okay.
Yeah.
What version of the Bible do you recommend?
I love the ESV, English Standard Version, Study Bible, because of the great notes at the bottom of each mm-hmm. page. So if you read a verse and you're not quite sure what it means, mm-hmm. it'll give you an explanation at the bottom of the page. The reason that also the ESV Study Bible is great, let's say there's a passage that's not the clearest passage, and there are two or three different
understandings that Christians have had of that verse. It'll give you all three. It's very fair. So it's called the ESV Study Bible. I'd buy a copy and start reading it.
There you go.
Yeah.
What caused some of these denominations to fall away?
Yeah. I talked in my sermon. You and I, for many years, were part of what's called the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, mm-hmm. the big liberal version of Lutheranism in America. And I've said this before, I'll say it again. It's not evangelical. I don't think it's Lutheran. I'm not sure it's a church, but one out of four, they're in America, Mona. And I also say the ELCA really stands for the Extremely Liberal Church in America.
Mm-hmm.
Every Lutheran confession abandoned, and my personal favorite, everything Luther cautioned against.
Mm-hmm.
Because the ELCA pays for abortions with offering dollars. Mm-hmm. They have practicing homosexual pastors. They had the world's first transgender bishop. Mm-hmm. The head bishop of the ELCA said that hell is empty. I mean, everybody goes to heaven. And Martin Luther would say, get back to the... These are Lutheran churches. The same thing has happened in Europe.
Mm-hmm.
The Norwegian Lutheran Church, the Swedish Lutheran Church, the Lutheran Church in Denmark, extremely liberal. Mm-hmm. And people have stopped going to church in Europe. Mm-hmm. Why go if it's exactly the same as our secular culture?
Mm-hmm.
So we need to get back to Scripture. And how did this start? It started years ago when some liberal German professors that taught at seminaries, that trained Lutheran pastors in Europe and here, that, well, the Bible is wrong on certain things. And that is when this started.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Read the Word.
Yep.
I wish I felt for sure that I am going to heaven, but I have committed some serious sins.
Yeah.
Your thoughts?
I think she probably needs to confess her sins to somebody and get the word of forgiveness over her. I remember a lady came up to after church and came up to the altar, Pastor Tom, I need some prayer. We knelt, and what do you need? And, well, years ago I had an abortion, and mm-hmm. she just couldn't seem to believe that God could forgive her.
Mm-hmm.
And so she confessed it. She was sorry.
Mm-hmm.
She put her faith in Christ, and I put my hand on her head and I announced to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Sometimes if you can't seem to believe you're forgiven, mm-hmm. you got to talk to somebody about
mm-hmm.
it. And have them, you know, do the absolution on you.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
How do I know if my life has changed enough to make me worthy of salvation?
Even the strongest Christian on the planet will never be worthy of salvation.
Mm-hmm.
Christ makes us worthy by his death. So Christ's blood, his atoning death for my sins, that's what makes me worthy. Now, there are days I'm doing really well. And there are days I'm not,
mm-hmm.
but I'll never be to the point where I am worthy of salvation.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you ever have doubts about your salvation?
Well, there are times. You know, I'm human, but I'll tell you how I fight my doubts. I mean, the devil tells me you're no good, you're a sinner, you're going to hell.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what I do is I stand on the promises.
Mm-hmm.
1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, God forgives my sins. Ephesians chapter 1, in Christ we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses. So I claim the promises of Scripture. I like taking Holy Communion.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good way God assures your heart and comforts you that this is the blood of Christ shed for you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's the big important two words in that. So, yeah, I have my doubts, but I fight them with Scripture.
Do you think Satan likes to convict us of our sins?
Yeah, he's called the accuser.
Mm-hmm.
Satan loves to accuse.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. What are some good denominations that still believe in the authority of the Bible?
Yeah. All right. I'd stay away from the ELCA Lutheran Church, but all the other Lutheran branches in America are pretty biblical.
Okay.
We're talking the Missouri Synod. We're talking the Free Lutherans, the Wisconsin Synod. So, and then let's talk about the Presbyterian Church USA, very liberal,
mm-hmm.
but pretty much all the other Presbyterian groups, like the Presbyterian Church in America, the Orthodox Presbyterian Church, they're good. Let's just do one more. The United Church of Christ is the most wacko liberal of all the Lutheran, of all the Protestant denominations. They're to the left of the ELCA and everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
But there is a group called the Three C's Congregational Church,
mm-hmm.
and that's a biblical group. So if you want to stay in, you were raised Presbyterian, and I got to stay, okay, there's good options.
Mm-hmm.
But don't stay in a church and give money to a church that's giving money to I mean, the ELC, a Lutheran church, gives hormone blockers to children in its health care plan. Mm-hmm. This is from hell. Mm-hmm. So there you go.
All right. Any suggestions on how to read the Bible?
Yeah. Here's what, I just don't think it's good one day to go like this. Okay, mm-hmm. next day. Okay, I'm going to go in the New Testament. Okay, I think it's good. If you've never read the Bible through, start with Matthew chapter 1, the New Testament. Read a chapter a day or so, mm-hmm. and go all the way through Matthew, then all the way through to the end of the New Testament. Then start Genesis chapter 1, read all the way through the Old Testament. I mean, I've read the Bible mm-hmm. entirely many times mm-hmm. because that's the way I do it.
Okay.
I mean, there are often days when I just, you know, will read that passage or that and skip around, but I also regularly read chapter by chapter by chapter.
And the important thing is to read the Word.
Amen. Amen.
All right. Is it okay to ask God a question and then open the Bible randomly and point to a verse for the answer?
You know, I used to do that as a young Christian, and I don't think that's a good idea. Yeah. Lord, should I move to California? Lord, should I marry that person? You know, and I'm not making this up. I remember this happening. Somebody said, Tom, you don't do that. Mm-hmm. Because you're tempting God. Mm-hmm. You just read it and don't tempt the Lord like that, or test the Lord like that. And because I was doing it, I was getting verses like, and the ark was 40 cubits. You know, so, and but I got kind of an itchy trigger finger, mm-hmm. and I decided to do it one again. And I hit, and I kid you not, it said, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God.
Whoa.
So I kind of don't do that. I kind of stay away from that these days. There you go.
All
yeah.
right.
Yeah.
From a viewer, I heard a TV preacher say that after the rapture, people will have a second chance to accept Christ and go to heaven. Is this in the Bible?
Well, again, what do you mean by the rapture? I believe in the rapture. Mm-hmm. I believe we're going to be caught up. That's mm-hmm. what the word rapture means. But I think we're caught up at the second coming, not 7 years before, which a lot of Christians believe. But even if you do believe in the 7 years before, once Christ comes down and the curtain is closed, it's mm-hmm. over. You don't get it. I mean, people on Judgment Day, we're going to want a second chance. It's too late. You have to accept Christ in this life, mm-hmm. and that's our only chance. Once you're dead, you can't repent. So there
that's
you go.
True.
Well, Mona, we got just about 30 seconds left, and everybody, just we want to thank you all, as always. Pray for our ministry. Mm-hmm. We'd rather expand than withdraw, but we're kind of at a crossroads, and hopefully we won't have to withdraw from stations because we might have to. So just pray that doesn't have to happen. Watch our TV shows for free at mm-hmm. pastorsstudy.org. And find a good church. Make sure you're going to a good church every week. And there you go, Mona.
Hebrews 13:8. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Stay in His Word. You'll be blessed.
Amen.
Thank you for watching the Pastor Study. You can watch more of our programs at pastorstudy.org. We are on the air preaching the good news of Jesus Christ because of the generous support of you, our viewers. Would you consider supporting our ministry? You may do so at pastorstudy.org or write the Pastor Study, P.O. Box 41294, Minneapolis, Minnesota 55441. May the blessing of our one triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you now and forever.